Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 11:02 a.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 2nd. I'm recording a little early because I need to go to the airport in an hour or two. And I'll be traveling to the UK to pay a pilgrimage down to see David in Devon, and also to speak at an investment conference. But when we look at what's been happening over the weekend, it has certainly been event-filled. And the Catalan vote in favor of independence, regardless of the fact whether the referendum was legitimate or not in the eyes of the law, has certainly put a spark under this big argument, which has been at the center of the EU for quite some time. But And rather than spend too much time talking about the inconsistencies that revolve around the euro and the effect that the imposition of fiscal austerity has had on what one might describe as frail links within countries, then what we can really more think about is what is the reaction going to be to these kinds of developments, and Spanish government bonds are a picture of that, because the yield is currently at 1.694%. Now it is a bit higher in here today, but Spanish government bonds yield less than US Treasuries, and that's a rather strange set of circumstances. It is a contradiction that gets to the heart of the entire argument, because Spain's government bonds are obviously benefiting from ECB purchases, and you have Macron in France beginning to resurrect the idea of pan-national bonds, so bonds that would not be issued by an individual country but by a group of countries, and trying to diversify that risk. But these are insurmountable in terms of the treaties such as they stand. And wholesale renegotiation of the Eurozone's treaties based upon the realities as they stand today rather than when they were originally negotiated is an awfully big ask. What it does suggest is that the ECB is going to remain with its quantitative easing program for longer than might have been envisaged on Friday. And I think that's part of the reason why the euro is continuing to unwind its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. When we just look at it on a daily basis, then it has broken its progression of higher reaction lows. When we look at it just over the last 5 years, for example, then we can see that there is an area of potential support in the region of that 115 area. But it is certainly going to have to bounce from that area to confirm lateral support around 115. Obviously, the resurgence in economic activity in Europe is certainly a bullish factor. The bigger question is whether it is coming too late to head off these nationalistic trends that are evolving not only between countries but within countries. So I wonder now, at what point is it that the Basques are going to begin to think about independence again? And if you start looking at Catalonia and the Basque country, then you're looking at an awfully big swathe of Spain. And this isn't the only potential flashpoint. Whereas you have this north-south divide in Italy, you have, and then you also have these, I think, people in Eastern Europe who are extremely unhappy with the way that the migrant crisis has been handled. So these are bubbling crises, and the ECB is going to have to be at pains to do everything it can not to disrupt growth, because growth is the only way that some of those divisions are going to be papered over. That higher prosperity is the number one answer to nationalism, and that suggests that the ECB's balance sheet is probably not going to be tapered in the short term. And While the Spanish index was in negative territory today by about 1%, the wider European stock market is responding more to the perception that the ECB is going to be in is not going to be in a tightening mode, would probably be the best way to say that. And then the S&P 500 is also pushing new highs and was up about 7 in here today. The Nasdaq wasn't quite as firm, but it has certainly held on to the majority of its gain, and it is right back up testing that 6,000 level. But this has been a very inert period of time, and that is contributing to the VIX being really quite low. But it looks to be only a matter of time before we start to see the Nasdaq breaking higher. What I thought was particularly interesting was the return to performance of Google on Friday, and that was a clear upward dynamic that we saw last week. It is now broken clearly higher and taken out lateral resistance over the last 2 months. While a little bit weaker in here today, this continues to look like a consistent advance where pullbacks have been limited to approximately $100, and this one is no different. And as long as it is trading above the trend mean, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we cast our eye somewhat further, then China was pretty steady in here. Now, of course, we are only 16 days away from the beginning of the Communist Party Congress, which is the once in 5 year. It's going to be when we're going to get the next 5 year plan. And there is, I think Beijing, it's no exaggeration to say, is in lockdown. And there is going to be no room for anything to go wrong. And that's probably a tailwind for the stock market. And the H-share index, which has been trending higher in a reasonably consistent manner since the beginning of 2016 in a staircase step sequence manner, then it is currently pulling back towards the region of the trend mean, but doing so in a moderate way, and certainly not coming down in a dynamic fashion. It would suggest that the most likely scenario is for higher to lateral ranging. And Australia firmed in here today. It was up not quite 1%, but that is beginning to look like firming from the region of the trend mean. What it really needs to do is to string 2 weeks together on the upside and to get back above that 5,800 level. But if it can surmount 5,800, then that would resolve this very inert environment over the last 4 months, and it would suggest that this range is a perfect example of an explosion waiting to happen. And because Australia has been doing nothing for so long, it would bolster the potential that we could get a surprise on the upside. And it has been quite some time since we've had one of those, so it would make it all the more surprising from the perspective of investors who've probably become rather bored with the potential from the Australian market. Now, the Australian dollar is back testing that 78 cent level, having paused around the 80 cent level for much of the last few months. But you can see quite clearly on the weekly chart that it represents the upper side of the underlying trading range and is just about approximating the region of the trend mean, although not there quite yet. So this is a natural area where we would anticipate the Aussie dollar beginning to find support. And of course, we're also starting to see the rise of populist tendencies within even the ruling party within Australia. So this disquiet and this exploitation of nationalistic fears is something that we're seeing right across the globe, and it's a direct response to the widening gap between the haves and the have-nots. And and I think it's probably even better described as the have everythings and the have nothings, because that divergence is becoming so wide. In fact, that's one of the things that I'll be talking about at this conference I'm going to speak at, and potentially think about what indeed are the solutions, because I certainly don't think that they're going to be universal social income or universal basic income, which I think is tantamount to adopting communism. When we look at the gold price, There was news in September that China is going to be initiating a gold contract, excuse me, an oil contract in renminbi, which can be redenominated into gold. And that has done nothing to support the gold price. Of course, that futures contract is not yet trading, but gold has pulled back to the region of the trend mean. It is for the bulls to prove. We need a clear upward dynamic to confirm that demand is returning to dominance in this area. It got all the way back up to test that 2016 peak, and now it is pulling back. And I think that the broadly speaking, this is an almost 2-year range for gold, but it is coming from the upper side to the lower side, and the lower side is around $1,100. So if it isn't going to go all the way back down, for example, to 12 or 1100, then we're going to need a clear upward dynamic to confirm it. And of course, because the dollar is firming in here, that is weighing on commodity prices. And the Brent crude price was down over a dollar in here today, and that is quite clearly exhibiting resistance in the region of $60. We know that hedging is starting up again, that there was an uptick in drilling activity in the US last week, that $60 is a level at which a significant quantity of unconventional supply becomes economic in domestic US supply. So it is quite a psychological hurdle for the oil price to surmount. What we are beginning to see is some of those major oil companies returning to demand dominance. Exxon, for example, is now back above the trend mean, and Royal Dutch Shell, with that impressive dividend, has been firming again and is back above that 2200 level, but has broken the downward bias that has been evident for most of this year. So we are starting to see that even the majors here are beginning to exhibit cost control, and that they can be in a profitable position even at levels that are almost half of where they were a few years ago. Then I think the other big commodity that a lot of people are watching is copper. And I've seen nothing but stories about how these prices can't be sustained, and that it has some of the worst fundamentals of any commodity, that it is in oversupply. And yet this remains a similar sized reaction relative to what we saw at the beginning of this year. It is gradually unwinding this overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and it has paused in the region of $3. As long as that upper dynamic from last Thursday holds, then the potential for this to represent nothing more than a consolidation within the context of a broadly bullish environment, I think remains very much the case. And the Baltic Dry Index surged higher between July and late September, and now we're also getting some pause in consolidation. Now, when we look at that on the weekly basis, then we're at really quite depressed levels. And part of the reason for that is that there were an awful lot of ships were brought to market in the last decade, and that depressed prices. But I think it is quite evident on this chart that there is a rounding characteristic since I think it's about 2014. And the downward bias was broken at the beginning of 2016. And as long as the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact, then the chances are that this is a saucering type base formation, and that a sustained move above 2000 would complete it. That would suggest that this period of synchronized global economic expansion has still got some ways to run. And the ECB, being one of the primary purveyors of liquidity, and the fact that it is facing internal challenges, that's all quite bullish from the perspective of global growth dependent on that access to liquidity. But it is also helping to strengthen the dollar, and the dollar index was firmer in here today, and it is looking increasingly likely that we are getting at least an oversold rally that is likely to close that overextension relative to the trend mean. So that's certainly something that I think is worth watching. And when we look at the 2-year treasury yield, then it is, sorry, that is the 10-year. I'm typing in automation, but what we can see is that it got all the way up to 1.5%, and now we're probably due a little bit of consolidation. That's a fairly big psychological number, and there are questions still about whether the Fed will in fact be able to raise interest rates next year. How much of an influence is their quantitative tightening program going to have? It's certainly going to start off pretty moderately, but it's going to ramp up next year because there is upwards of $450 billion that needs to be refinanced in treasuries next year, and that rolling off of the balance sheet that the Fed is talking about is going to be a big factor in that refinancing effort. So there are uncertainties because it's a very big question whether they can tighten or whether they can raise interest rates and remove a major source of liquidity from the market at the same time. And I think that's why 2-year yields are not higher. But if that is indeed the case, that they can't do both at the same time, then that suggests that we're not going to have an aggressive tightening, and that should be positive for stock markets as well. Now, when we look at the pound, because it pulled back more against the dollar than the euro in here today, and it was also weak against the euro. I think the most important thing is that it has unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean against the euro, and now we're getting some pause and consolidation. And if it can sustain a move above the trend mean, then that will be the first time since really the end of 2015, and it would begin to suggest that the pound is beginning to recover and beyond what has been an impressive short covering rally. If and I think, when we look at Europe over much of the last few months, it has been boosted by this enthusiasm for growth, and the ECB has certainly helped to encourage that. But the reality is that Europe still has significant issues, and so does the UK. But all of the UK's issues are already in the market, and I think perhaps a number of the Eurozone's aren't. So that could have a bullish impact on this particular cross rate. So what happens next is likely to give us, I think, a great deal of information about how the market views the UK's fortunes versus the Eurozone's. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. I'd wish all the best to all of you, and I don't anticipate there being any interruption to service over the course of this week, but I may be posting at somewhat different times based on my availability and my ability to get some writing done. And with that, I wish all the best to all of you.